few weeks ago, I was in Ohio for a teen weekend, prom weekend, and I heard a couple of messages back to back, two splits, and a couple of phrases from each one resonated with me. So I'd like to tell you what that was. The first speaker said, God does not want compliance, he wants transformation. And then in the following message, the speaker said, there is a difference between being God-fearing and being Spirit-led. The following week, we had a message up in Londonderry where it was about nostalgia for Egypt. This was pre-Holy Days, where the speaker was showing that the hearts of the Israelites who had left Egypt, they weren't focused on going forward with God's help. They were more focused about what was going on back in Egypt. When they didn't have any food, they longed for the leeks of Egypt and all the other stuff that they had, you know, the garlic, the fish, and so forth. In their mind, compliance in Egypt came with certain benefits. And like Lot's wife, they longed for what God was trying to destroy. That said, most of us know what it means to comply. We know how to show up for school. We know how to show up for Sabbath services. We know how to keep the holy days. We know how to follow the rules. But is that what God is ultimately after? Well, today I'd like to explore the difference between compliance and transformation and how it ties into this period between the holy days of the Days of Unleavened Bread and Pentecost. So come with me, if you will, over to Acts 7. I'd like to start in Acts 7. And in verse 39, Acts 7, verse 39, this is referring to Israel when they left Mount Sinai after receiving the Ten Commandments. I'm going to cut into the thought here. Again, this is speaking of Israel. Whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. This is an incredible verse, right? Outwardly, they did leave Egypt. They followed Moses. They received the law on Mount Sinai. This looks like obedience. It looks like compliance. But God says, in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. We could say that they obeyed with their feet, but their heart was back in Egypt. That's the difference. Compliance is all about behavioral change. Transformation is about heart, motive, change. What is the role of God's law? Come with me over to Galatians, a few books back. Let's take a look at a scripture in Galatians. I'm going to read from the King James Version for this one. Galatians 3 and verse 24 and 25. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now the New King James has the word tutor there. Schoolmaster is a little different, and it means a guardian, a disciplinarian, someone who enforces behavior. It's different than the modern teacher that we would think of in the classroom today. So tutor, although accurate, it's a little less accurate than schoolmaster, if you look it up in Strong's. The reason I bring this up is because the law helps manage behavior, right? But it doesn't transform the heart. It's like guardrails on the road that keep us from going off the road, but doesn't teach us how to drive. So what does a compliance mindset look like, right? We hear about God-fearing in the scriptures. A compliance mindset might be something like, I don't want to make God angry with me, right? Or I better follow the rules. I want to stay out of trouble. That's compliance, where ancient Israel lived. They had a list of do's and don'ts, and they were compliant really to avoid the penalty, right? They came out of Egypt, and they were given a set of rules, and they obeyed, but kind of reluctantly. They didn't seek alignment with God. Let's contrast that to being Spirit-led, where transformation mindset is the method. This is where the person thinks, I want what God wants. My desire is changing. My heart is changing. This is where we seek alignment with God. This is what God is after. And to illustrate, I'd like to just use a quick example of someone who maybe quits drinking, right? They comply. They don't have alcohol. But when they wake up and their heart desires it every single day, it's still a challenge for them, right? The desire hasn't been dealt with. And so it keeps them tethered, kind of like slaves. And that's true for any addiction, by the way. I just picked alcohol. But in Acts 7:39, it says that their heart remained in Egypt. And it's like nostalgia, right? Seeing things through rose-colored glasses. We see things the way they weren't. They weren't really that way. It's kind of skewed, but let's talk about Paul's conversion. In Acts 26:14, you don't have to turn here. I'd like to cut into this thought. This is where Paul is explaining himself to King Agrippa. And I know you remember what happened to Paul on the road, Saul at the time, on the road to Damascus. One of the things he said is, it is hard for you, this is Christ speaking to Paul, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, a goad was a sharp stick that they would use to whack the ox. And it would, well, really guide the ox. but if the ox resisted, it would only hurt the ox even more if it resisted. And really what Jesus was telling Paul is, you're resisting and it's costing you. It's costing you because you're resisting. And at the time, Paul, who was Saul at the time, remember before his conversion, he thought he was doing all the right things, right? He was religious, he was zealous, he was compliant. But internally, he was resisting the truth. He was resisting conversion. And like Paul, we can kick against the goads, but in the end, it only hurts us more than God. So what is the heart of the matter? What am I getting at? God has always been after the heart. In Ezekiel 36:26, you can come with me there if you want. It's a short sentence. Ezekiel 36:26, this is a future fulfillment, by the way. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. That is not compliance. That is transformation. We need God's nature to replace our own. This goes all the way back to Mount Sinai. Let's go look back in your Bible to Deuteronomy 5. I want to read something that struck me because I didn't realize the timing on this until I looked it up. But in Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, it says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Notice this scripture starts with the word, oh. We don't usually pay attention to that, right? Take a look at what that means. This is almost like God was expressing his desire, his deep longing to that they would align with him. It almost expresses a sense of grief, right? Oh, that they would have such a heart in them to obey me willingly. Right out of the gate, it was a heart issue. But I want to be clear. Compliance is required. Compliance is required. God wanted them to fear him. Fear is the beginning of wisdom, right? God wanted obedience. Why would he give them a law if he didn't expect adherence to the law, right? Compliance or obedience. God wanted them to have right desires. He didn't want this to be grudging. And he wanted them, obey me because it's for your benefit. Fearing him was for their benefit. Obeying the commandments was for their benefit. Look what it says at the end of that last scripture again. That it might be well with them and with their children forever. There is a better way. We just completed the spring holy days, right? Passover, the days of unleavened bread, and the Sabbath in between. Passover isn't just about deliverance. It's not just about forgiveness. It's about change. It's all about change. The blood gets us out of Egypt, but his spirit gets Egypt out of us. So here's the pattern. Passover shows us deliverance from bondage. The law gave us structure and boundaries. The problem was their heart was still in Egypt. They were still tethered to that old motherland. That's all they knew. That whole generation grew up in Egypt. Their heart was wandering back to Egypt. Christ came along, and his spirit allows us to transform. It allows us to have a different desire, to be aligned with God. During the days of unleavened bread, we went around and we removed leavening, right? We got rid of all the big stuff. Some of us even pay attention to, you know, crumbs and stuff. We have all kinds of sermons about crumbs in our lives. But really, what we, this is a, you know, we all know that this is a metaphor for sin, pride, corruption. And the intent of this, the intent of these days, is it really to remove leavening from our house? Is that it? Because ancient Israel went through the motions. But they didn't know what they were doing. We come way after them. So we know the intent of these instructions. God isn't just trying to get us to leave sin. He wants to remove our desire to go back to it. We need his spirit to transform and remove the desire to return to the ways that are out of alignment with him. Egypt is out of alignment with him. In 2 Corinthians 10, I'd like to read this. This is what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Second Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Paul wrote, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For, listen to this, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We live in a physical world, and there's a lot of struggles in the physical world, right? There's a lot of people struggling with strongholds, spiritual in nature. They don't recognize that, though. They struggle with physical strongholds that are spiritual in nature. We are called to be lights to these people, right? Salt. Romans 12, you guys know this scripture by heart. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We read that all the time. Brethren, Pentecost is coming up. The spring holy days pointed us towards transformation. If we want to help others, we need to be living examples of God's power at work. People should be able to see us and see the change in us. For me, for my wife, it's been 35 years, right? But for all of you, you have a different story. God's Spirit changes us from something ugly to something beautiful. Conversion is a process. Come as you are, but you can't stay that way. I love that expression. Come through the door. I don't care, you know, it doesn't matter what the person looks like, but you can't stay that way. That's not true in every church. We saw a church on the way, get way off track, but we saw a church about 10 years ago down in Ohio. Someone says, it was literally a drive-through church. Come as you are, stay in your car. No joke. Talk about convenience, huh? I don't know if you can get fries with that, but... If you've never looked into what it means for a caterpillar to go through the change into a butterfly, metamorphosis, I encourage you to look into this. It's incredible. I know many of you have, you know, read about this over the years, but maybe take a fresh look at this. The pattern between unleavened bread and Pentecost reminds me of the metamorphosis, or the chrysalis period, where we start with the physical and we head towards Pentecost with the Spirit being given to the church. An ugly, slow caterpillar goes into a chrysalis and literally dissolves into goo and comes out with this beautiful butterfly. It's an amazing transformation. It doesn't crawl anymore. It's transformed into a beautiful butterfly with so much more potential. Beautiful, free, able to soar. And isn't this, in a sense, our best brethren? We're in the chrysalis. We're being changed into something different. So you might consider this as we approach Pentecost, that we're in the chrysalis. And as we count down, brother, let's remember that God's purpose isn't just behavior change, it's heart change. It's not outward compliance, it's inward transformation. I'm going to finish up in 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul said this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Transformation from the heart, that's what God is after.